I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
So I guess we should probably go ahead and have a little talk.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Scraby is a natural hater.
I'm still angry at that.
I think he doesn't want to see you happy.
And Chris Ello.
You're no Jalen Ramsey.
Not you think be. He did one of those like everyone does?
Yeah, man.
Oh, Jesus, Jalen.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, lots to get to as we kick off the second half of the program on this Wednesday. Welcome back to it. Gwen and Chris, 5:04 is the time. Want to thank the folks at your San Diego County Honda dealers. They will be presenting next week's coverage of 97.3 The Fan's MLB Winter Meetings. Don't forget, next week, Tony and I will be on an hour earlier from 2 to 6. But every day during the MLB winter meetings next week, we will have wall-to-wall coverage, beginning with Ben and Woods in the morning, the coach John Quintera, and then Tony and I. So you will not miss a thing. 2019 MLB winter meetings. Make sure you take advantage of the end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Day sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. All right, I am really excited to have this guy on the program. As I mentioned earlier, I'm glad he's on the phone because I have a feeling if I made a sudden move and he was in the studio, he'd probably tackle me. He tackles everything that moves. He is San Diego State linebacker Kiava Tesino, and today named to the Mountain West Conference All First Team. Congratulations, Kiava, and thanks for joining the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thank you. Thank you guys for having me, and thank you for, recognizing my honors and everything. I appreciate it.
You know, Kiava, just watching you play, it just seems to me that somewhere along the line, somebody helped you get a nose for the football. I don't know exactly how that would be or where that would be, or if it was just a God-given instinct within you, but you are never too far away from it on any given play, and I just wonder what you credit that to.
I just credit it to my preparation and my instinct, like you said. I've been playing football since I was 5 years old. I mean, so I created a good instinct and I created a good skill of, playing football. So I just feel like it all goes to that. And I mean, I just try to play hard, play fast, and play physical. I mean, so in this Rocky Long defense we play in, I just, it's a great experience. So I'm just so happy I was a part of it, and I'm happy I can be an impact in the defense.
Yeah, but obviously this Aztec defense was amongst the best in the country this year. What was it about this particular defense that made you guys so good and really all season long?
I feel like we were just so much of a close-knit group. We always hung out with each other. I feel like we knew each other's weaknesses and we knew each other's strengths. Mm. So I feel like that had a big impact in it. I mean, and we just love to play football, as you can tell on Saturdays. We just love getting after guys, and we love just going out there competing amongst each other and against the other team. So, I mean, we actually talk mess about, like, if we miss a tackle or if we didn't get the interception. So I feel like we hold ourselves to a high standard.
Kiava Tesino has played to that high standard not only this year, last year as well, and throughout his Aztec career. Just a blast to watch number 44 chase after the ball, as I said. Kiava, you touched on it, playing for Rocky Long. Not everybody's that lucky to get to play for a defensive mind like Rocky Long. You're in the middle of this defense. What kinds of things has Rocky Long been able to teach you that maybe you might not have gotten elsewhere?
one thing I can say, Coach Long has taught me to be tough. yeah, that's one thing you can always know about Coach Long. He's going to be a tough guy. He's always going to be honest with you. And those are the things I probably learned is being tough, honest, and just going out there and playing with a lot of effort. He brings it out of his players, even when you think you don't have it within yourself, he brings it out. I feel like I wasn't one of the tough guys that came in, but I had to pretend I was tough, and I guess it worked well for me. So yeah.
And they say you got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, you made it.
Clearly, you've made it and have had a huge impact. You announced you'll be playing in that East-West Shrine Bowl game this year. Do you think you have more to get yourself? Do you have to do more to get yourself noticed by NFL scouts?
No, I mean, I feel like I've done a lot of work on the field, and I feel like I put a lot of work into just my craft and everything. So I feel like, you know, me going to play in that game is another opportunity for me to play another game of college football against, you know, I guess better competition than what people would say we play. So I mean, I'm not trying to impress scouts. I mean, of course, I would love to be a high ranked guy or whatever, high drafted guy, but I mean, whatever God has in store for me is where he's going to place me. So,
and wherever you go, you're going to be good. I know this. Just watching you play, man, somebody's going to get really lucky to get you in the draft. Kiava Tizino is with us from San Diego State. What's your take on anybody out there that says, you know what, the Aztecs season was a little disappointing? I mean, your coach Rocky Long has kind of spoken about that. You guys go 9-3. You have another chance to win 10 games if you win your bowl game. To me, that's a pretty successful season. Does it bother you that some people have said, well, what if you guys had done more?
You know, I see why they say that because, you know, we preach in this program a lot of winning a conference championship, and that's kind of like what we preach a lot, and that's sometimes that gets past people winning games. You know, we always just think we have to make it there no matter what, but I mean, like you said, winning 9 games is a great season. I mean, we potentially can win 10. So I feel like me and the team just going out there and having that mentality of, okay, we didn't make it to the championship. Now it's time to set a next goal and go win 10 games.
Yeah, obviously your focus is still with the one game you guys have remaining, wherever the bowl game may be. But when that's all said and done, and as you start preparing for this East-West Shrine game, will you reach out to some of your former Aztecs who've got a chance to play at the next level to kind of get their feedback on how that game, how the game may be a little bit different at the next level?
Yeah. I mean, I talked to a lot of guys who have left and, you know, who's on playing their careers and who's done playing. You know, I most definitely will reach out to them and see how the process is. And I've actually already been talking to a couple guys about it. They said the process, you know, it's from when you in the bowl game, it's just going to be just straight working on your craft from there, you know, trying to make a team and impress a team in the bowl game and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm ready for it. I mean, I just can't wait to see what God has in store for me. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and it's not a lot of opportunities that other people have that I have. So I'm just very grateful for it.
Every time there's a play made by the Aztec defense and Kiava Tizino is not in on the tackle, I'm always thinking, what happened? Because he's in on everything. Fantastic to watch you play. Congratulations on a tremendous career. Thanks for everything you did for San Diego State, Kiava. Best of luck in that bowl game and beyond. And hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you when you're in the pros, man. It's been a pleasure to watch you play. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate everything you do for the city, the football team, and everything. I really appreciate you guys. I'm going to miss you guys. I mean, like you said, if I get a chance to play at the next level, I'll for sure be talking to you guys again.
Good Most deal. Definitely. We'll hold you to it. Thanks,
Good
Kiava.
Luck the rest of the way.
There he goes.
Thank you.
Kiava Tizino, one of the best tacklers I've seen probably since our friend Kirk Morrison, just in terms of getting to the ball, Tony. I mean, it's just an amazing gift that he has, and he arrives in an ill mood and puts a pretty good lick on and doesn't miss too many guys.
No.
If any.
That's a good thing, good problem to have as a linebacker. You just find yourself around the football. You can make plays when you're around the football.
Absolutely. He does it like, you know, some really good NFL linebackers I've seen, and I don't know where his draft stock's going to be. It doesn't mean anything to me. I just know when he plays, he'll be around the ball.
in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and if somebody wants somebody to make a bunch of tackles.
Your comparison to Kirk Morrison is a very good comparison.
Yeah, because Kirk was not all that highly thought of. You know, it wasn't like he was a number two pick overall. But you could tell Kirk Morrison was going to make an impact on the pros, and I think this kid will as well. All right, making an impact on our program next will be CBS Sports' Jerry Palm. Talk a little college football with him, the playoffs, and also college basketball. Good college sports writer for CBS Sports. Jerry Palm will join us next. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff. Stick around. It's San Diego's number one sports station. It's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
519, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Halfway, a little more than halfway through our four-hour show, talking a little college football, a little college basketball with our next guest. Joining us on Gwynn and Chris, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. Jerry, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Good. Going well. I'm going to start in college basketball because the Aztecs are off to a fantastic start this year. They're undefeated. But they can't seem to get any votes for the top 25. And, they, you know, you look at their schedule, one of the tougher schedules in so far this year. Their RPI ranking is pretty high. What's it going to take for the Aztecs to get into that top 25?
Well, probably a marquee win, in which I don't really believe that they've accomplished that yet. I mean, if you're looking at RPI numbers in early December, let me just caution you that those are strictly for entertainment value only. I mean, there's you know, when you've only played 4 weeks, you know, with so many games to go and all of that, and so few games played, you know, that there's really not a whole lot to go on. Their best wins are probably the ones they just got, Creighton and Iowa, a couple of teams that may or may not make the NCAA tournament. Nice wins, but, you know, it's probably not the kind of thing that's going to grab voters' attention if they weren't already paying attention to you.
Right.
I think that's a good point. I mean, we're talking about a team that's one of only 18 undefeated teams in the nation, but the only one in the Pacific time zone. And I'm assuming, Jerry, that very few people have seen San Diego State play. And
I have not.
A little difficult.
But I'm wrapped up in football right now. So
yeah, you're wrapped up in football. So all right, well, let's go there. College football playoff. Let's stick with the West Coast. Does Utah stand a chance to get into the college football playoff if Georgia loses, or are they going to get passed by the Oklahoma-Baylor winner?
Well, they're more likely to get passed by Oklahoma than Baylor, because if Oklahoma wins, they will have two wins over a team in the top 10. And the best that Utah can do is a win over Oregon, who's currently in the, what are they, like 13, 14, mid-teens, right?
Yeah.
And that would be their one and only win over a team in the rankings. They don't have one yet. The only team they've played, USC, is the team that beat them. So, I mean, really, I mean, if it's just going to be about, you know, strength of schedule and how you've done against your schedule, it should already be Oklahoma. But the reason it's not is because this is a committee that values style over substance for the most part. Certainly, eye test matters a lot. And Utah is doing better in that category, the eye test category, than Oklahoma, because Oklahoma's had a number of close games, and the committee doesn't want to see close games. They want to see big numbers, even if you're playing tomato cans, and that's the way Utah has gotten the respect of the committee. Obviously, they go out and beat Oregon. That's probably, you know, especially if they can put a number up on Oregon, which
right.
I would say seems unlikely, because that's also a very good team. But if they can, I don't know what Oklahoma or Baylor can do about it. If they have a close game and Oklahoma runs it up a little on Baylor, that could change the mind of the committee. But I think that's probably what it takes at this point.
Jerry, do you have LSU being the best team of the four that are in there right now?
To be honest with you, I mean, if I were going to, you know, if the playoff were starting today and you've got those three teams, and we'll say Utah or Oklahoma, either
okay.
one. You know, it's not Georgia. I would put LSU third.
Third? Okay.
I mean, if I were ranking the teams like the committee does, Clemson has to be third. They haven't played anybody. They're not going to play anybody. You know, there just isn't anything you can do about it. But Clemson is the defending national champion. They're an outstanding team that hasn't had a chance to really prove it yet against good competition, because their league is dreadful besides them. And they're best non-conference opponent was Texas A&M, who had kind of a down year. Although, I mean, 7-5, they're not terrible, but, you know, it's not the kind of a win that's going to get anyone's attention. So, you know, but I watch out for Clemson in the playoffs. I like Ohio State. I think they've been the best, most complete team all season long. But you underrate Clemson at your peril.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting how they've fallen into that three spot and just quietly just cruising along.
Dabble's not very happy with it either.
The schedule is such that, I mean, LSU's played better teams, considerably better. Ohio State's played considerably better teams and is laying waste to everybody except, well, okay, a 17-point win against Penn State. The only team that made them work in the fourth quarter all season long.
Yeah. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, our guest, talking a little college sports here with us, and appreciate your time, Jerry. What do you think of the conference championship weekend, which is coming up this weekend? Almost on every case here, you've got a repeat game, teams playing teams they've already beaten this season. Is it time for, like LSU-Georgia, I mean, if Georgia does
that's
happen
not a
to win? No, that's not repeat, what I'm saying. But if it, I don't know that the game means anything unless LSU loses like 49-0. I would think they'd still get into the pool.
It doesn't mean anything for LSU. Yeah. It means a lot for Georgia.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But you like the you like the way it's set up right now. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I like conference championship games. I'm a Big Ten guy as a league. You know, we were the last to the party. The Big 12 took a few years off when they went to 10 teams, and now they're back. But the conference championship games give some of these underdogs, especially higher-rated underdogs, a chance to maybe play their way in. I mean, Georgia, these top four teams, of course, Ohio State and LSU are in win or lose. Clemson and Georgia are the only four teams that can say they are definitely in if they win.
Yeah.
So, you know, for Georgia, it's huge. For Utah, it's huge. You know, Utah's not making the playoff if they don't have a conference championship game, and everybody else does.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and the Big 12 had that problem once before. They didn't make the playoffs. A lot of people say it was because they didn't have a conference championship game, but really they didn't make the playoff that year because Ohio State won 59-0, and their conference championship game wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, that 13th game, that opportunity to get another quality win for your conference champion is big. However, it's a high-risk, high-reward thing.
Yeah.
Utah's going to play a very good team. They lose to Oregon, they'd have been better off not playing the game. But you don't know until you play it.
Right, no doubt. Jerry, we appreciate your time, man. We got to get going here. As always, we appreciate
your
expertise.
Jerry.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, our countdown follows.
You guys are going to love who's at the top of our countdown today.
Top five
worst franchises in all of sports.
Last 10 years.
Jinx!
Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Just after 5:30. Outstanding Wednesday evening to you. Wet, rainy Wednesday evening. But we're going to brighten things up right now. Tony Gwynn Jr., myself. Time for one of the real popular segments on this program, Tony.
Yes, it is.
It's called The Countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
I just have a feeling you guys are going to like this topic out there, and I know you're going to like who finishes at the top of my board. I don't know what Tony's list is, but the countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. Today, we focus in on the worst franchises in pro sports. Who are they? In our minds. Stop it, hey! That was a cold-blooded shot that I will get you back for later.
Number five.
Of course, Tony might put the Dolphins in there. How do I know? You go first.
Never know.
Let me go first.
Worst franchises in sports.
All right. In my mind, I looked at it in terms of success of postseason, success getting to postseason, and success of over the last 10 years.
Okay.
So number five for me is the Los Angeles Clippers.
LA Clippers.
Yes. Yes, they've had a lot of success this year. Not so much. Had some last year, too. Had some decent years, but have yet to get past the first round, I think.
Yeah.
In their history.
They win one series, I believe. They
think
did.
They've won one series. You're
they
right.
They beat the Spurs in a game seven on a last-second shot by Chris
Paul. And mind you, prior to that success, they had been number one. They would have they've moved themselves five, and they're almost going to be off the list here probably after this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Number five for me is the Washington Redskins. And I went by franchises that are just simply a mess. That was my definition of bad franchises. And as long as Dan Snyder's running the Redskins, I think they're going to be a mess. They change coaches every other year. They make a playoff appearance about once every 6 or 7 years. And then they go back into the deep depths of the NFC East. They're so bad that when they beat your team, your team fires its coach. That's how bad the Redskins are right now. So I'm going to put them at number five.
Number four.
Number four on the list is also the Washington Redskins.
We're thinking alike.
Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, he's
the best. He's one of those owners that involves himself too much in the actual whatever sport it is.
He can't leave it out.
He can't just buy the toy and hire some people to let him kind of make that organization what it should be. I don't know if he's one of those guys that enjoys the glory, so he wants it all to himself. But nevertheless, he keeps getting involved, and it only seems like it makes it worse. So they're number four on the list.
He's
for me.
Jerry Jones finishing in last place every year. At least Jerry Jones, say what you will. I mean, they're usually contending,
yes.
But he's meddling in everything. But of course, he's also the GM, which is
that's
crazy.
Also true. Yeah.
All right. Number four for me is the Baltimore Orioles. Once proud franchise, just mired in a major slump right now. I think it's been 7 or 8 years where they've been just right around 100 losses or more. Doesn't seem like they have a direction. Doesn't seem like they can settle on a manager. And I don't see, you look at some bad baseball teams, it seems like they're trying to rebuild. I guess the Marlins are kind of in this same picture too, but I just think the Orioles stick out more because they were a great franchise. I mean, I don't think people remember when the Orioles used to, knock around the Yankees and Red Sox pretty regularly, but that's a long, long way off now. So, Orioles, number four.
Number three.
Number three for me is the now Miami Marlins.
Yeah, good one.
Yes, they have two World Series. But
they have 22 last place finishes on top of it.
Far and few between. And if you're going from 2010 to 2019, you can certainly say that they are one of the worst franchises in all of sports. They take the number three spot on my top five.
You know, the Marlins have only been to the playoffs twice. And both times, they won the World Series.
Indeed,
they did. Absolutely incredible. All right, totally agree with that pick. Number three for me, I'm grandfathering these guys in, and that's the Los Angeles Clippers. There is no way they're one of the biggest train wrecks in sports right now.
No.
But they were such a bad train wreck for so long that I'm just grandfathering them into the list.
Right.
I'm putting them in there. You had them at number five. I think they were so bad for so long, they still deserve mention in the top three. It does seem like they have things kind of figured out right now with Doc Rivers and front office seems stable, and obviously Kawhi Leonard lends you a lot of credibility and Paul George. But, man, the Clippers they set the standard for what was awful in franchises. So I'm grandfathering them in at number three.
Number two.
Number two for me is the New York Knicks. They have found a way probably to live off of their legacy longer than any other organization, and it just seems like in the last few years that's not even anything that anybody cares about anymore. They just haven't been good for a very long time. Last time I think I could remember them was the strike shortened year they played the Spurs in the finals.
I think it was the Rockets actually. They did play the Spurs one year too.
They played the Spurs.
Yeah.
Right after Tim Duncan's second year, I think. Last time they were like
quick.
They've had some playoff appearances, if one with Carmelo, but it just hasn't been the Knicks. And you so much so that you hear guys like Kevin Durant say as much now that nobody's thinking about the Knicks. Brooklyn is the team everybody wants to go to.
Yeah, that's where everybody went. Yesterday we were talking about the Knicks on the program, and we decided because we were talking about the Knicks that we would do this countdown. That's how bad the Knicks are.
That's exactly how it came about.
So I have them at number two also. James Dolan is probably one of the most controversial slash poor owners in all of sports. And, I mean, where have you gone? Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, Patrick Ewing. I mean, the Knicks were... You know, the Knicks had really bad timing because they were good for about the decade that Michael Jordan was playing.
Yeah, wrong time.
So they
to be
just
good.
Never quite were able to get past that. But
almost
since
feel bad.
Then, the Knicks have been just awful no matter who's on the other team.
I almost feel bad blaming it on the Knicks. It really should be Dolan.
Yeah, it's just him. I mean, if you're a Knicks fan, and there are great Knicks fans out there.
Yes.
I mean, you just got to pray that somehow this guy gets rid of that franchise and give you a chance.
Knicks fans don't stop being Knicks fans. They just go in hibernation until hopefully things change.
I know how to fix the Knicks. Remember that movie Eddie? They need to hire Whoopi Goldberg as the coach.
All right.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
You know, when we talked about great sports movies about a month ago, I don't recall that one up. I don't even think it got a mention.
Wasn't it baseball movies?
No. It was sports movies.
Know. Well, Eddie's back on my list, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Number one. We have the same one. I'm going to laugh.
I know that it was...
come on and say it.
I know that it's been very good for him as of late, but the Cleveland Browns are still worst organization in the last 10 years.
They've had a winless season.
They've had a couple, or has it just been one?
They had one. I think they won 1-31.
And the last, there is nobody that has been as bad as the Cleveland Browns from 2010 to 2019. And they probably win in all categories of bad. Cleveland Browns, number one.
All right, I certainly consider the Cleveland Browns for my list. You got to go back to 1965 since they won a championship. That's you're getting over 50 years there. But I thought I would make the local listeners happy. So my number one biggest mess of a franchise right now is the Los Angeles, used to be San Diego Chargers. Think about...
So I thought Tony was going.
Oh, think about how bad that franchise is. I mean, they've alienated... an entire city. Now they've set out to alienate an entire region. They play in a city that doesn't even know they're there or care that they're there. They're going into a stadium where they're not even going to be the tenant. They're just going to be renting it out. And you put it all together, that their ownership is what it is. I don't need to really comment on that, but I think everybody knows how we all feel about their ownership. And then just to throw on top of that, I mean, they're headed downhill right now. I mean, Phillip Rivers is at the end of the line. They're 4-8. They don't seem like they have a replacement for him. I mean, it may be a while before the Chargers are good again.
Yeah.
And they're going to go into a new stadium on a downer,
Think about the timing of the two teams that are moving. One team is going to be going into their new stadium, probably hitting the ground running in the Oakland or the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
The Chargers are going to hit their new stadium, and they may just be in the second year of a rebuild.
Yeah.
Can I add to that?
That franchise is just, I mean, they're a mess in every way. And you know what? They were a mess when they were here in San Diego. I mean, just trying to deal with those people, it was always difficult and messy.
I want to add to Chris's choice of the Los Angeles Chargers. When over the weekend there was a report released that Phillip Rivers would be benched if he didn't play well, that's just another bad decision by the Chargers if they were the ones to leak that and all of that stuff, because Phillip is not going to get benched.
And today's, I think he was on his way.
Interception 100%. To a defensive tackle, I thought he might be on his way.
If I was Phillip, I would have walked off the field and be like, you guys, I'm good. I'm good.
He's not tarnishing the good reputation he's built up over time to just walk off the field. You could argue that if he continued to play bad, you had reason to go to your bench. But I'm like you, Chris. I was watching that game, too, and it was like, oh, man, I just got this weird feeling that it was going to happen. He was going to get benched. But then he turned it around.
Yeah, he ended up having an okay game. But the Chargers are a mess, and that's what I'm basing my countdown on today. That is our countdown brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 20 locations to serve you.
29.
Wow. They're bumped up to 20. They just, what did he build, 9 this morning?
I'm not going to throw you under the bus for that. I'm holding a piece of paper very far away from Chris right now.
It looked like a 20, but thank you very much. Visit SDOilChange.com for locations nearest you.
Wow. We need your glasses. SoCalOilChange.com.
Yeah, that's it. I do need my glasses, and I don't have them. All right. One franchise that's not on our list today, I think, Tony, as we kind of ease through this this segment, is the Philadelphia Phillies. You can't really put them on there because they're going out every single year and spending as much money as any team in baseball, at least trying to make their team better. I don't know if it's ever going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Jake Arrieta a couple of years ago. They obviously got Bryce Harper, the biggest fish in the pond last year. And then today they get Zach Wheeler, $118 million. That is a lot of money to spend on a guy that's never won 15 games in the big leagues, but they think he's going to be the next, you know, great big thing. If they're right, then they got themselves.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A big horse out there to lead the rotation. But if you're a fan of the Phillies, there's no way you can complain, right?
Not a shot. Not a shot. I mean, we can go back to, what was it, 2009? They won their 2008, they won their title. Yeah. They were there again in 2009, 2010. They've been competing for, especially in terms of what we were just talking about, countdown, the criteria being 2010 to 2019. They've had a couple rocky years, the last 3-4, but there was a long run of nobody wanting to play the Phillies. And this move today, when you think about the things, and when you think about the Phillies in terms of what was their Achilles heel last year, it was starting pitching.
Yeah.
You go out, you get a guy like Wheeler. You probably save yourself, I don't know, $7, $8, $9 million compared to what you might have had to pay to bring a guy like Gerrit Cole or Steven Strasburg.
That's a good way of looking at it. I mean, I still think $118 million is an awful lot for a guy that hasn't established himself as a number one starter yet.
Is that
in
what
baseball.
He ended up getting, $118 million?
That's what I read. Yeah, $118 million. I mean, that's a hefty price tag. Like I said, they're betting a little bit on what people think Zach Wheeler's going to do in the next couple of years, not what he has accomplished so far, because he hasn't really accomplished all that much other than everybody says he's great.
5 years, $118 million. Yeah. He turned down a contract with the White Sox, reportedly, of over $120 million.
Like, I would love to be Zach Wheeler and just be one of these guys that's been pitching kind of mediocre baseball my entire career. Then I get injured, and while I'm injured, everybody says I'm the best pitcher in baseball. And I don't even have to go out and back that up, right? He didn't have to back. Last year, everybody said Zach Wheeler is going to be the next big thing. And he never had to go out and even back up that information because he was hurt the whole most of the year. And now, sitting there and people are just throwing money at him. I mean, they can't wait to give him money. So, you know, we'll see how he handles it. Not everybody handles these big contracts well.
You know?
But I think the Phillies, you got to commend them, whether it works or not. They're coming up with money that I didn't know they had, because they just keep signing guys to $100 million contracts year after year after year.
Listen, there's enough there in his starts through the last 3 years to feel comfortable with what you're getting. Yeah, he's had some times where he's been injured. 31 starts, 29 starts the last 2 years. 17 in 2017 when he was coming off of the Tommy John surgery.
What was his record last year?
His record last year was 11-8.
Okay.
3.96.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't win the NL Cy Young. Almost, that's about all you need these days to win the NL Cy Young. Jacob DeGrom wins it every year with 10 wins.
Almost 200 innings. So yeah, you got some track record to look at. I think this is a good signing for Philly. The Phillies needed a guy like this. They needed a guy who could be at the front end of their rotation, kind of be that anchor. Is he the best of the best? No, he's not. But I think he fits this ball club.
Well,
I do.
I think he's got a great press agent. I really do. I mean, certain guys are great players and nobody knows they're great players. Certain guys are okay players and everybody thinks they're great players. And I think Zach Wheeler fits that category until he goes out and wins a 20-game season. You know, have yourself a big year. Be Gerrit Cole. Be Steven Strasburg. Then I can understand why somebody would give you $118 million. So we'll see if that works out for the Phillies. Meanwhile, speaking of the Phillies and Cole Hamels to the Atlanta Braves today, what do you think of that signing by
the
Braves?
That's a good sign for them.
Can I just say that Chris's segues are on fire right now? Those have been some of the best segues of all time.
You're feeling his segues right now?
That's because I can't see anything, so I'm having to come up with it in my mind, formulate it in my mind. Cole Hamels leaves the Cubs, but he was a MVP of the World Series for the Phillies. So, San Diego guy. I don't know about this deal. He makes a deal with the Braves that doesn't include a no-trade clause. Is that advantageous for him so that when we get to September, if the Braves aren't in the running, which they should be, but if they're not, then he can ask for a trade to a contender? Is that what he's thinking?
He can't ask for a trade, but There's nothing preventing him from being traded.
Right.
There's no clause in there.
Yeah.
And generally, guys of his age for a one-year deal, teams don't want to lock themselves into having to have to pay that contract if something goes wrong. So I like the deal. I think they need a veteran president. Remember, they're going to lose. They're probably going to not. I mean, it seems like Keuchel's not going to be going back there. So,
right.
They need somebody.
Well, Keuchel's not going to go anywhere until next July.
Is that what?
Poor guy. Nobody's going to sign him again. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But I think, you know, it's a good move. I like Hamels. I think this guy's been one of the better pitchers in baseball for the last decade. He's not the best pitcher in baseball the last decade, but one of the better ones. And, you know, look, Atlanta's got a team that was right there last year. I mean,
they still got to address their
They had heartbreak in that first round playoff series with the Cardinals.
They got to address their third base position. I mean, if they're not going to bring Josh Donaldson had a fantastic season for them. So,
yeah.
That turns out to be a big hole that you now have to fill, based off what he put down for his production.
Chipper Jones available?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
so. They're gonna have to find somebody at third base.
Chipper is well enshrined at this point.
Larry's called it a career. Yeah,
Larry's not walking through that door.
No, he's not walking. He's not.
Comeback player of the year. See that the guys who ended up winning that. One of them is Josh Donaldson. He wins the National League. Yes.
Well, that's a pretty good choice, I would say.
Carlos Carrasco, a kid who came back from the cancer, was able to give the Indians some innings in that.
That's a nice
half.
Touch.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You know, and the guy that looked, the whole All-Star game was surrounded around Carlos Carrasco. And
who was going through treatment at that time.
He was going through treatment, and they stood up for cancer in Cleveland. And, I mean, he was right there. It was a very emotional scene. You know, I think that's a good move by Major League Baseball. I mean, there might have been a guy in the American League that had a better, quote, comeback statistical year. But to go through what Carlos Carrasco went through and then get back on the mound, that was a neat choice. I like that by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, they did a good job.
Good
on
for
that.
Them.
And the other one, obviously, was Josh Donaldson.
I've always been a little leery about the comeback player of the year award. In the Carrasco case, this doesn't apply. But it always means, if you're the comeback player of the year, it normally means that you had to be bad one year. Right? You can't
or
just
injured.
Maybe that can be.
Yeah, no, injuries
right.
play.
Maybe
I
right.
was going to say, injuries. I remember John Lester winning it the year. He came back after having cancer. Guys, generally, it has been, it just depends on the year. Because a lot of times, I remember there was like a 3-year span where it was guys who came off of big time injuries and had good years. And then as of recently, there's been a run of guys who just had bad years and were bouncing around and turned it around the following year. So it just depends on the year and the time and place.
Yeah. Do you guys think that the Comeback Player of the Year award is meant for people to who came back during the year, like Carrasco, where he had to leave in the middle of the year and then come back. Isn't that the definition of comeback player?
No, generally it's a year. It you don't see too many instances that somebody gets hurt during the year and comes back and pitches.
Carrasco's a special circumstance.
Carrasco's a special circumstance because of the cancer part of it. Most of the time, it's guys who got hurt the year before, didn't have a good year, bounce back the following year.
To me, this is the kind of award that a Padre needs to win pretty soon, because that's what you need to have a great season. I mean, you're going out and you're spending money on guys that you expect to do well, and then you're bringing in other stars, the Padres I'm talking about. You're bringing in the Machados. You're bringing in the Hosmers. You're bringing in these guys. You need somebody who bounces back and just totally surpasses what you expect in order, I think, to make a jump in the National League West. I mean, look, I know the Padres are heading in the right direction. I do truly believe that. But they just seem like they have a long, long gap before they can catch the Dodgers in this division. I mean, seven straight division titles is going to be very difficult to unseat them. But
you don't have
you
to
can
catch
do
them,
it
though.
If you get a combo. No, I know. If you get the wild card, look at the Nationals. Hey, look, I'm the one who said it last year. Always go after that wild card if you can get it. But I'd love to see the Padres win a couple of comeback players of the year, because that, to me, is a lucky thing for a team.
Yes, that's a right? That's lightning
that's
in a bottle.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves signed Josh Donaldson, former MVP, but there's no way they could have expected that he'd turn in that kind of season. And then they wind up winning the division and having a fantastic year, not just because of him, but certainly he had a whole lot to do with
it. Yeah, you know who would benefit? The Padres would benefit greatly if Will Myers had a comeback
Will
player of the year.
Will Myers puts in a Josh Donaldson.
You know what I'm
season,
saying?
Look,
I mean, if you look at the kind of at-bats he had this year and how much he struggled compared to years past, he qualifies. If he goes out and has that type of year, that is, I promise you, the Padres are finishing well higher than what is anticipated.
What about, could Fernando Tatis Jr. be a candidate? Because he missed a lot of games last
year.
Yeah,
but he was so good.
What was he struggling? Did something happen?
He was so stellar. I mean, he finished third in the rookie of the year.
Don't look at me like that was an idiotic question. Because
I'm not looking at it. No,
he's talking to me.
Yeah, rarely do I look at you and not think it was an idiotic question. But I can see where you're at least trying to come from there. But
Thank you, Chris.
When you finish third in the rookie of the year ballot. I think Will Myers is a perfect candidate. I mean, if this guy has a comeback player of the year season, that could change the whole fortune of your team.
My money would be that it does change the whole fortune for the Padres.
All right. Good baseball stuff there. Hope you enjoyed our countdown a little earlier in the segment. Another hour to go on the program this evening. We'll have it all coming up for you. The happy hour is next.
Indeed.
Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello here. Tony Gwynn Jr. there. Scraby over there. And you ready to...
I'm ready to get in the driver's seat.
All right, good, because I got a little Aztec basketball to take care of tonight. Speaking of Aztec basketball, good luck to Brian Dutcher up in Fort Collins tonight.
Bring home a W, boys.
That game's about ready to tip off. We're coming back with the final hour of Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.